This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today. Hi, and welcome to today's edition of Covenant Living Today. Today on our broadcast, we're teaching about knowing who I really am.
Last week, I shared with you that I have a vision for this church. In fact, over the last number of weeks, we've been talking about what the vision for Covenant Community Church is, what God wants to do through us as a congregation. But last week, what I talked about was this. My vision is not just for the church as a whole. I have a vision for you as members of the church. Do you know I have a vision for you of who God wants you to be? You know what my vision for you is? When I look out at you, I see people who are bold and confident in their faith. Faith-filled, walking in the Word, committed to righteousness, and on fire for Jesus Christ. That's what I see when I look at you. Amen? Amen. Now, understand this. Everybody here has faults and limitations. Isn't that right? Let me raise my hand. Everybody here has faults and limitations, and I lead the pack, all right? But when I look at you, you know what? I don't see your faults and your limitations. I look not at what you are not. I look at what God says you have the potential to become. That's the way I see you. And it's important. Go over to John chapter 1. Look at verses 40 to 42. Look at something that Jesus did in the life of Peter. We know this man as Peter, but his given name was Simon. And look at what Jesus did. John chapter 1, verses 40 and 42. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. Now look at what Jesus is doing here. Here's this man, Simon. You know what Simon was? Simon was just a foul-mouthed fisherman. That's who Simon was. And one day his brother Andrew comes to him and says, "Simon, we found him. We found the Messiah." And he takes him to see Jesus. Jesus takes one look at him and says, "Your name is Simon, but I'm changing your name. From now on, I'm not going to call you Simon. I'm calling you the Rock." That's what it said. I'm calling you the Rock. Now think of what that did for Peter. Here's Peter been waffling around just as a fisherman, not doing anything for anybody. He comes up to the master, to Jesus, and Jesus says, "From now on, Peter, you're going to be a rock. You're going to be solid. I'm going to be able to depend on you." And for the rest of his life, Peter messed up once, denied Jesus, amen, but then he repented. But for the rest of his life, what was he? A rock. Hallelujah. Go over to Genesis. Chapter 17. Let's look at another example. Genesis chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. There was a man by the name of Abram that God called out of his country and said, "I want you to go to another country, a country that I'm going to show you, and I'm going to make a great nation out of you." And look at what God did for Abram. Genesis chapter 17, verses 5 and 6. "No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you." So you see what God is doing? Abram at this time is a man who had no children. He had nobody to inherit from him. And God is saying, Abram, I'm giving you a different destiny. I'm giving you a different future from what you've had before. And in order that you might get it, that you might see it, that it might get deep down on the inside of your understanding of who you are, I'm going to change your name. From now on, your name is Abraham, which means father of many. Now catch it. Abraham didn't have any, and God named him father of many. What's he doing? He's saying, Abraham, I see your potential. I see what I'm going to do in your life. I see what I can do in you and through you. And I want you to see it too. So I'm changing your name so you can get it and see what you're going to become. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Look at how God operates. Look at what he was doing when he changed Abraham's name in order that Abraham might see what his destiny was going to be. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Speaking of Abraham, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him, he whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Or as the King James puts it, God who calleth those things which be not as though they were. Amen. See, that's what God was doing with Abraham. Abraham, you don't have any children, but I want you to see what your destiny is. I want you to see what your potential is. I don't want you to look at yourself the way you are now. I want you to look at yourself as who I have created you to be. You are the father of many. I call those things which are not as though they are. And you know what? That's what God calls on us to do. 2 Corinthians 5:16 says this, from now on we regard no man according to the flesh. Amen? We don't look on the outside anymore. We don't look at what you look like right now anymore. We see one another with the eyes of God. See the potential that God has placed inside each one of us. And that's what we respond to. How many of you know that God has made you have great potential? Amen. Anybody know that? God has made you with great potential. God has made you. Catch this now. God has made you to be much more than you are right now. I don't care how good you are right now. God created you with the potential to be much greater than you are right now. Anybody here think you've already reached your potential? If you do, my office is back here. We can counsel after service. Amen? And what God is saying to us is this. We need to see ourselves as he sees us. We don't need to be looking at ourselves the way we think we are. We need to see ourselves in the light of the destiny and the potential that God has given us. Catch it. God had to change Abraham's self-image before Abraham could reach his destiny. The way you see yourself determines who you are. The scripture says in Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What you think about yourself defines who you are. Let me see, honesty time here today. Is anybody in the house ever had a somewhat negative self-image? Anybody here ever had that? Anybody? Uh-huh. Amen. Amen. Uh-huh. Catch it. God wants to redefine how you see yourself. God wants to redefine how you see yourself. Because you see, the way you see yourself determines who you are. Catch this. If you think you're stupid. Anybody ever been told that you were stupid? Anybody ever been told that? Mm-hmm. If you think you're stupid, guess what? You will tend to act stupid. They've conducted experiments with teachers. And one of the things that they find is that school children will live up or live down to the unstated expectations of their teacher. There's a story that's related, and it's true. It really happened. A new teacher at the beginning of the term was given a list of the students in her class. And out to the side, by the name of each student, there was a number, which she looked at and said, it must be their IQ. So guess what? The ones who had the largest IQ, and she probably didn't even realize she was doing it, but she had greater expectations for them. It wasn't anything that she said. She treated, you know, the whole class was there together, but the ones with the greater IQ number were the ones she expected to do better over that term. And guess what happened? Those are the ones who did better. She didn't discriminate against the others, but there was something in her attitude that communicated the expectation that because you have a high IQ, you should do better. And those children responded. They did do better. They did achieve. And then at the end of the term, she proudly was reporting to the principal about how all her high IQ students did such a great job. Principal said, that's not the IQ number, that's their locker number. But because of her expectations of those students, they saw themselves reflected in her eyes. And because of her attitude toward them, because of what she expected of them, they conformed themselves to her expectations. If you think you're stupid, you'll tend to act stupid. But if you know that God's given you great potential, hallelujah, that's the way you begin to act. Catch it. If you think you're worthless, you'll begin to act like somebody who is not worthy of respect. Have you ever known somebody that didn't seem to have any self-respect? I mean, they just kind of treated themselves as if they were worthless. Well, that's because other people were communicating to them that that's the way they ought to see themselves. One of the tragedies in our day is that there are so many young girls who do not know their worth. And therefore, they allow themselves to be used by men because they don't know how worthy they are. See, you need to know that you are a worthwhile person. You need to know. I don't care what people around you are saying to you, what's getting reflected in their eyes. You need to understand that you are worthy of self-respect. But here's the bottom line on this thing. If you think you are a sinner, you will act like a sinner. Isn't that right? If you think you are a sinner, if that's the way you see yourself, you'll act like a sinner. And what do sinners do? They sin. It's their job description. And so if you see yourself as somebody who is not able to walk with God in righteousness and holiness, you're always tripping up and falling over your own sin. If that's the way you see yourself, unable to do what to follow righteousness, then you will be a sinner. And what God wants you to know is that one of the devil's major goals in your life is to keep you locked up in a negative, limited, sin-conscious self-image. So that's the way you'll keep on living. Here's the key issue. I got to see myself as I really am. I need to see myself as I really am. Go over to Romans chapter 12. Look at verses 2 and 3. If I don't see myself as I really am, the devil will cause me to see myself the way he wants me to be. Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. What's the word saying? We need to see ourselves accurately. We need to see ourselves accurately. And how do we do that? Look back at verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. We got to have our minds renewed. We've got to have our minds changed about who we are and the way that we see ourselves. Now here's the deal. The word says that I am to see myself the way I really am. And you know what? That's hard, isn't it? I've already talked about the fact that we tend to see ourselves as the way other people see us. I remember when I was in high school, sitting in chemistry class, and right there before all the students, this teacher made a negative comment about my abilities and my future. Now, I'm not even going to try to count up how many years ago that was, but I remember it to this day. That negative comment this teacher made, not only made it, but made it publicly, saying I didn't have the potential that everybody else thought I had. Now, there's two ways that you can go, by the way, when that happens to you. You can say, well, he's probably right. Or you can say, I'll show you. Amen? Amen? See, we don't need to let somebody else define who we are. Let me tell you what the difference is. Go over to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Here's the way you know whether or not to receive that image of yourself that somebody is going to reflect back to you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Look at this. You know this verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Amen? Amen. I can do how much? All things through Christ who strengthens me. And so you know how to tell the difference? When somebody wants to come up to you and tell you what you cannot do, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If God called me to do it, He'll give me the grace and the strength that I need to do it, and you can't tell me any different. Amen? You know what the wonderful thing about being a Christian is? The person who told you you can't, they may be right. In yourself, you may not be able to, but guess what? You're not by yourself. Hallelujah. You've got the greater one living in you. You've got all the power of God living in you. And so you don't need to be defined by what somebody else thinks about you, what somebody else believes about you. When somebody tells you that you are less than what God says you are, it needs to be water off a duck's back. I brought you my cell phone. As you can tell, it's old and busted. Anybody want to trade cell phones? But you know, I noticed something. Even though this is an old cell phone, it's got all kinds of stuff. It's got menus and all kinds of buttons. I don't know half of the stuff that's on here. I mean, if you ask me about this cell phone, I'll tell you what I just told you. It's old, it's busted, I need a new one, it's no good. But you know what? If I go to the manufacturer, Nokia, and ask a salesman about this cell phone, you know what he'll tell me? Man, that's a wonderful phone. Let me tell you about all the features of this phone. It can do this and it can do that. And by the time he's through, I want to go out and buy two or three more of them. Amen? Now catch it. This cell phone does have many potentials that I don't know anything about. And if you leave it up to me, you'd think it's a dud. But who is it that knows what that cell phone can do? The manufacturer. Amen? All that stuff I don't know anything about, if I go to the manufacturer, he can tell me all the wonderful stuff it can do. Who knows about you? The manufacturer, hallelujah. He knows all about you. He knows the way he created you. He knows all of those hidden qualities that nobody's been able to punch the button on yet to bring out in your life. But he knows at the proper time and the proper place, the way he's preparing you, the way he's taking you, that those qualities are going to come out because he put them in you. Understand, if you want to know who you really are, you got to go to the manufacturer. Here's the second way, though, we define ourselves. My own personal history. Anybody here ever been disappointed with yourself? My hand's up again. Amen. Mm-hmm. Ever looked at yourself and seen all your failures and all your limitations, and you begin to see yourself in a negative light? Amen? Well, understand, you can't trust yourself any more than you can trust somebody else to define who you are. You know what the wonderful thing about you is? If you're a Christian, 2 Corinthians 5:17, what? If any man be in Christ, what is he? A new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When you consult your own history, the way you have been all your life, to tell you who you are today as a new creation in Christ, you are looking at a lie. Do you catch it? Whoever you used to be, whatever the limitations you used to have, the sins that you used to be bound by, couldn't get free of, old things are passed away, and all things are become new. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. When you look at yourself in the mirror from now on, if you are a Christian, here's the way you need to see yourself. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that's Jesus, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. When you look at yourself in the mirror, what should you see? The righteousness of God in Christ. Man, isn't that great? You are God's righteousness. Well, you say, well, I haven't been acting righteous. But that's why your mind needs to be changed. That's why you need to see yourself the way you really are. See, you've been acting the way you've been seeing yourself. You've been seeing yourself as a low-down, dirty sinner. Amen? You've been seeing yourself as somebody who keeps on walking according to the lusts and desires of your own flesh instead of according to the will of God. That's the way you've seen yourself. But when you get a new vision of who you are and understand that you are a new creation in Christ, you will begin to see yourself as righteous. And if sinners sin because they are sinners, what do you think the righteous people do? They walk in righteousness. Hallelujah. They walk in holiness because they are holy. You see what God is doing here? He's telling us we need to know who we are because old things have passed away. We need to understand the new reality of our lives. Look at Romans 6:11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Reckon yourselves as dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now the key word there is that word reckon. We've talked about that word many times. The word in the Greek is logizomai. And what it means is to take account of. It's the word that you would use to talk about looking at your bank account and seeing how much money you actually have. It's the word you would use to balance your checkbook. How many of you have ever had a check bounce? Why did that check bounce? Let me tell you why it bounced. Because you did not logizomai. You didn't logizomai. You did not balance, count up, understand the significance of what you had in the bank versus what you wanted to write in checks. You see, that's what that word means. It means look at your situation and understand the implications of it and act accordingly. And so when it says we are to reckon ourselves as dead to sin and alive unto God, it means we are to look at that fact, see the reality of it, and then understand its significance and put it to work in our lives. Let me give you an example of failure to logizomai. Every Friday and Saturday night in this country, probably the other days as well, but there are a bunch of people who go to a club or go to a party on Friday night or Saturday night. They drink, amen, then leave the club, go out to their car, get in the driver's seat, and start driving home. Has anybody here ever heard that drinking and driving don't mix? Anybody ever heard that? Anybody ever heard that? Okay, see, the problem is not that they don't know the dangers of drinking and driving. The problem is they don't logizomai. In other words, they don't look at themselves and see the significance of their condition and act on the basis of it. They know in the abstract, if somebody drinks and then drives, it's dangerous. But they look at themselves and say, I can handle it. They do a false balance. They come to the wrong conclusion. They didn't logizomai. And because of that, every year thousands of people die. See, what God is saying is this. You need, number one, to grab hold of the fact that you are a new creation in Christ. You need to look at that thing. You need to see yourself that way. And then you need to conform your behavior to that fact. Look at it this way. If you had $10 million in the bank and no debts, anybody here would think you were wealthy? Prosperous, amen? $10 million? Let's turn it around. Suppose you had $50,000 in credit card debt and nothing in the bank. Would anybody here think you're poor? Let me tell you something. Whether you are poor or prosperous has nothing to do with what you have in the bank. Catch that. Whether you are poor or prosperous has nothing to do with what you have in the bank. Let me prove it to you. How many times have you heard about people who won the lottery and a few years later they're just as broke as they were before? Amen? Why? Because they were poor folk. They saw themselves as poor folk. And poor people can have money for a while, but guess what? Your bank account will eventually conform itself to who you think you are. If you think you're poor, you will end up poor. I mean, how many pro athletes made millions of dollars? And then when it comes down to old age, somebody has to take up a collection to take care of them. Amen? You see, if you see yourself as a poor person, you'll be a poor person. On the other hand, suppose you see yourself with God-given prosperity. You know the word of God that tells you that when you put your trust in Him, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. He's made you the promise that whatever you do will prosper. Amen? Now, you may be that person, and you may be like me today. Nothing in your pocket. Amen? But guess what? I don't care what you say. I'm prosperous. Hallelujah. Because I know who I am in Jesus Christ, praise God. You don't need to look at my bank book. I'm telling you, I'm a prosperous person. And whatever my bank book says right now, guess what? It's going to conform itself to the prosperity of God in my life. Amen? You see, God says it's your image of yourself that determines who you are. And you need to know that you no longer are that person that was gripped by the desires and the lusts of your flesh, always walking in sin. You're a person who is a new creation in Christ.
This is Pastor Franklin. Thanks for listening to Covenant Living Today. This broadcast is an outreach of Covenant Community Church. We're a young congregation where the focus is on teaching the Word of God with clarity and integrity so that our members not only understand the Word, but know how to put it to work in their lives on a day-by-day basis. And because we're young, we have some great opportunities to serve. Perhaps you're looking for a church where you can both learn the Word and serve the Lord. If so, why not come and visit with us? Our worship services start at 10:30 every Sunday morning. Plus, we have Bible study every Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Covenant Community Church is located at 1745 Dairy Street in Harrisburg. And if you'll come to the corner of 18th and Dairy or 18th and Berry Hill, you can't miss our building. For more information or directions, or for a CD of today's message, please give us a call at area code 717-232-5299. That's 232-5299. Or visit our website at covcomchurch.org. That's covcommchurch.org. This is Pastor Ron Franklin inviting you to be listening for our next broadcast of Covenant Living Today.